Good morning. Fish are an important part of the food chain. They comprise a major part of the diet for many animals, and a lot of animals are experts at catching fish. The kingfisher, for instance, didn't get its name for nothing. Bears are surprisingly nimble enough to catch fish. The bald eagle does it with majestic grace. The dolphin fishes with a smile on his face. But perhaps the greatest fisher of fish is the humpback whale. Interestingly enough, the throat of the humpback whale is so tiny, it can't swallow anything bigger than an orange. So it has to eat a lot of fish, a lot of small fish, usually krill or herring. Humpback whales are about the size of this basketball court and are solitary creatures usually. The ones near North America hang out in the waters around Hawaii, where they don't eat much at all around Hawaii. They mate and they, you know, care for their young and they live off their fat. But every summer they migrate north to the chilly, nutrient-rich waters of Alaska to feed 24/7. And what they do up there in Alaska is really amazing. Usually, these normally solitary animals get together and they fish in a group. They fish with a behavior called bubble netting. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's pretty interesting. They meet each other at the surface, and then they dive down deep where they begin to swim in large circles about the size of a baseball field around a school of small fish. Meanwhile, they're blowing bubbles. And as they're circling, creating a large cylindrical wall around the fish from way down deep. Sometimes they'll vocalize to scare the fish into the middle and up toward the surface. And at the surface, the small fish have nowhere to go. And the whales dramatically emerge with their mouths wide open, filling up with fish. My wife and I went up there last summer. We watched a group of 10 whales, which did this about every 6 to 10 minutes. And you could tell exactly where to look for the whales by watching the seagulls that were tracking the action above the water. Whenever the school of fish surfaced, each seagull would dive down and get one, while each whale would get about 1,000 in his mouth. And then the whales would catch their breath and dive back down and do it all over again. And I wondered, what kind of spiritual lesson can we learn from these whales? On his own, a solitary whale can catch a few fish, sometimes by clapping the water with his fins to momentarily stun any fish that are nearby. But by working together, more feeding can be accomplished for the group, resulting in more benefits for each individual member of the group. And in a spiritual sense, we Christians need teamwork, the teamwork of worshiping together. And the benefits of this are out of this world. Now, certainly God does want us to pray alone, as Jesus did in the garden. He wants each of us to have a special personal relationship with Jesus. He also wants us to benefit by being part of a group. He wants us to pray as a group, sing as a group, confess as a group, be blessed as a group, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes we profs hear from former students. And some former students say they really miss the days, the good old days when they were students here. They miss their friends, even dorm life, some of them will say. They'll miss concerts and games. Some of them sometimes say they miss chapel. Especially if they go on to a university from here. The element of gathering around God's Word twice daily with fellow Christians is gone for them. And they miss that. Do Do you know how many chapel gatherings we've had here at Emmanuel over the years in the history of Emmanuel? Well, if you use rough math, the answer is somewhere over 17,000 chapels. 17,000 opportunities for young people and some of us not so young to be nourished in the teeming waters of the Word of Life. You know, one thing the naturalists in Alaska said very often is that this fishing activity, this bubble netting, is a learned behavior. By nature, the humpbacks are solitary creatures, so they have to learn from one another to work together. It's instructional, not instinctual. So you might ask, well, who was the first smart whale to figure that out? Good question. I think God had a lot to do with that. But our spirituality is this way too. It's instructional, not instinctual. It's a learned behavior, our faith in Jesus and our worship of God. By nature, we are solitary too, separate from God, not wanting to hear about sin or hell, but wanting to feed ourselves by ourselves without the help from anybody. We have to be taught about our Savior because it doesn't come naturally. First and foremost, we learn from His Word, but we also learn from each other when we gather around His Word of Life and we strengthen one another. He wants us to do this. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, He says, I am there in the midst of them. Charles Spurgeon, a pastor in London, back in 1887, wrote, "The sheep of Christ are gregarious. This is their nature. They love to gather themselves into congregations, to feed in the same pasture, and to enjoy together the presence of their great shepherd. It will always be so." Close quote. It's easy to take for granted what you get every day. But in the case of chapel, try not to. There might come a day when you cannot meet twice daily with fellow Christians and feed off of God's Word. So don't take it for granted now. We are told in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that two men went to the temple to pray. And this is a very good reason to go. But we know that only one of them actually prayed. If the apostle would have said, two men went to the temple to brag, well, then the Pharisee would have fit that bill pretty well. And even when he thanked God, wasn't he really praising himself? The tax collector, on the other hand, beat himself down. And he begged for mercy because he needed it and he knew he needed it. He was a sinner. We are told that he was the one that went away justified that day. Likewise, bring your spiritual needs before God on a personal level whenever we gather for chapel. In a sense, beat yourself down and then joyfully receive what He freely offers to all who trust in His dear Son. You are the very sort of sinner that Christ died to save. He has come to save, come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you leave here today and tomorrow and the next day, I hope you leave with a feeling of being fed and a feeling of being justified. We close today with hymn 382, stanzas 1, 3, and 6.